Good morning, Every Nation Church Penang. Good morning. So this morning, I would like to first give thanks to the Lord for the opportunity to share with you all the Word of God. And it's a great honor to stand here this morning to preach for the first time in my life. Hey. All right. So today, we'll continue with our Book of Romans, the Gospel Experience series. We are now on the third block, and we'll continue to explore on the gospel life. Okay. So Pastor had preached on the conflict of desires and life in the spirit on the previous 2 weeks. Today, we shall look at part 13, which is the hope of salvation. I believe everyone has learned a lot along our journey through the book of Romans. So our previous sermons had unpacked on what we can call the chief privileges of justified believers, which is peace with God, union with Christ, freedom from the law, and life in the spirit. Having said that, it is not easy to live a Christian life, as we are still in the tension of the already and not yet state. We have been saved, but our salvation has not been consummated. As Christians, we still face with challenges, setbacks, failures, and sufferings in life. I want to encourage all of you not to despair and give up, because we have this hope of salvation in us. This morning, we shall look at our hope of salvation. Let us read from Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 30. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Okay. So, if you notice the highlighted word just now during scripture reading, you will see multiple occurrence of words such as suffering, groaning, hope, glory, and the Spirit. Okay. So now we begin with the question, how should we look at sufferings as Christians? Why do we experience suffering in the first place? This is because all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, in the beginning, God cursed the creation, resulting in corruption, decay, and death. Nevertheless, God gives us hope when Jesus Christ redeemed us by dying on the cross for our sins and resurrected 3 days later. So not only that, but our suffering as Christians will also lead us to glory. Suffering and glory belongs together indissolubly in Christian life. Looking back at Romans 8, verse 17, we are told that just as our Lord Jesus Christ experienced suffering, we too, as heirs of God, will suffer with him. So it says here, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. However, it's important for us to remind ourselves that our suffering on earth is short-lived it is temporary, limited. No matter how severe and prolonged the suffering might be, it cannot be compared with the glory that is to come. We will enter God's eternal glory in Christ forever. God's revealed glory will greatly surpass the unpleasantness of our sufferings currently. Imagine this. If you have to work extra 2 hours every day for a month, you will get to be promoted at the end of the month with a 100% increment in salary, and you get to have a 1 whole week off after that. Isn't that an unbelievable offer? I think you will work without complaints, happily, okay? Overlooking the present hardship. And God's glory is beyond what we can imagine, better than this unbelievable offer. This hope of glory during our suffering is the hope of our salvation. At the same time, as we experience suffering on this earth, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation here refers to the earth, everything in it, animate and inanimate. So the word eager longing means to wait with the head raised, an eye fixed on the point of the horizon from which the expected object is to come. It's like when the bride arrives at a wedding ceremony. So all of you will be standing up tiptoe, stretching the neck, craning forward to see her. So the creation longs to see the revelation of God's children, and that is us being glorified. So do we also long to see the return of Lord Jesus Christ with his full glory revealed to us all? Okay. My dear friends, have you ever felt that your life is futile, full of frustration? Have you ever felt that your life is on a repeated cycle of eat, sleep, and work like a hamster on a wheel? Maybe you work for long hours every day, even during weekends, and you feel that there is an emptiness in you. Back when I was still a junior doctor at Penang GH, I worked for about 70 to 90 hours per week. So it was tough, trying, and stressful. I got scolded by my superiors very frequently, and patients were often not cooperative. So we often spent a lot of time and effort to cure and save the patients, however, just to lose them overnight. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher says, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Meaningless, meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Because of sin, we see that mankind and creation suffered. And the Bible is clear here that it is God who subjected the creation to this futility. Our God is the judge. However, he is also our Savior. Only he can give hope to the world he has cursed. And so our hope of salvation is in Christ alone. Despite all that I experienced during housemanship, I know that it was going to be temporary. I know that God was working in me to mold me to become more like Jesus day by day and to prepare me for greater challenges and eternal glory in Christ. So one day, there will be new heaven and earth, and the creation will share in the glory of God's children, which is itself the glory of Christ. All suffering will cease, all tears wipe away, and death will be no more. And God will dwell with us with his glory fully revealed. But for now, the creation is groaning in pain together. We too groan in pain. But these groanings are not meaningless, because it is not a sign of despair. On the contrary, Paul likened this groaning as pains of child labor, childbirth, which will be followed by the joys of birth. Okay. So Apostle Paul reminds us that although our salvation had begun and we already have received the Holy Spirit as a down payment, it is not yet complete. Think of it this way. So our Lord has purchased us a house. Okay. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, we are now justified and our name appears legally on the house deed. When you purchase a house, you will have to pay a down payment, right? So the Holy Spirit is the very down payment, the first installment we receive. So the Holy Spirit is a promise for what is yet to come. However, our salvation will not be consummated until resurrection, which all of us are looking towards, the full realization of our adoption in Christ. So inevitably, for now, our Christian life involves patient waiting in hope. To be sure, we have already been adopted by God, and the Holy Spirit always assures us that we are His children. But there is an even deeper and richer child-father relationship to come when we are fully revealed as God's children. When that happens, we will be fully conformed to the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is exactly why we Christians groan in the present time. So why do Christians groan? For two reasons. Firstly, we know that although we have been redeemed spiritually, our physical bodies are still experiencing decay, which means one day, all of us will die physically. And on the last day, the Spirit will give life to our bodies. Our bodies will then be changed by Christ to be like His glorious body. And secondly, it is not only because of our fragile physical body which makes us groan. Our fallen nature also hinders us from behaving the way Christians should. So if you remember Romans 7, Pastor preached on the conflict of desires. So we want to live by the Spirit, but because of the presence of sins in us, sometimes we still fall and live according to the flesh instead. Therefore, we long for our flesh to be destroyed and our physical body to be transformed. Everybody says amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So continuing with verse 24 to 25. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Have you ever come across a situation where you felt hopeless? I believe you do. So a few years ago, I went camping with my brother and a group of Christian friends. So on the last day when we were going to go home, my brother accidentally left his car key in the car boot and he closes it. So basically, we were locked out of the car. So it was a weekend evening and we were not familiar with the place. So we drove around in another friend's car to the nearby town to seek for help, but we couldn't find any. So as time goes by, we got worried and started to feel hopeless. Now, since we are all Christians, guess what do? We pray, correct. So hope against hope, we pray. We decided then to call the police, and we were told that there's this guy who knows how to unlock car, but he does it on a volunteer basis. So we gave him a call, and by God's providence, he was traveling on his way to another town, which was like a 3 to 4 hours journey, and where we were happens to be just in between the two locations. So we waited patiently, and the guy came and helped us to unlock the car. Yeah. So what is hope? Hebrews 11:1 says that, now faith is the assurance for things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hope is faith directed toward the future. Because of our faith in Christ, we have this hope. 2 Corinthians 4 also tells us that what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes on Jesus and wait patiently. Our hope, the Christian hope, is not a wishful thinking. Okay? So it is not how we use the word hope in our daily life. When I say that I hope that I don't have to do any work, I hope that I can travel around the world and I hope that I'm rich, or I hope that I can be 10 centimeters taller. So these are just our fantasies. Biblical hope is a firm conviction that the future promises of God will be fulfilled. His word will be fulfilled. We can be sure that God's word is trustworthy. It will not return to Him unfulfilled, and it will come to pass. It is because of this hope we can endure and continue to press on when we face with suffering and failures in life. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just as our hope of glory sustains us as we go through sufferings, the Holy Spirit too helps us. He is the sustainer of our hope. Okay. So how does the Holy Spirit help us? He helps us in three ways. He helps us in our weakness. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So as imperfect beings, we are still weak in our already but not yet condition. Because of that, sometimes we do not know how to pray because we do not perfectly know the will of God, especially His secret will. Should we pray for deliverance or should we pray for strength to sustain us? So Holy Spirit comes and helps us in prayer. He intercedes for us in prayer in our heart, just like Jesus Christ is our intercessor before our Lord Father in heaven. So I've mentioned earlier that the creation and we ourselves grown together as we wait for glorification, the renewal of creation. This is because we are imperfect beings. However, the Holy Spirit, being God Himself, He is a perfect being. So what does it mean when we say that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words? It means that the Holy Spirit identifies with us in our groanings and in our pain. He comes near to us and dwells in us. He understands our weaknesses well. When we struggle in suffering and in prayer, He is always by our side. Do not forget that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, and He gives us strength. This is precisely why every nation church has the word Spirit empowered in our mission statement. Since we do not exactly know what is going to happen next and when, how, we are unsure of what to pray. Or sometimes we are afraid that if we pray wrongly, God will not answer our prayer, correct? So this often leads to prayerlessness, and I believe that many Christians are also struggling to pray, especially in the public in front of others. Okay, so the good news is that the Spirit always intercedes for us according to God's will. So even when we pray for the wrong thing, we can rest assured that the Spirit is praying for us and that the Spirit's prayer is in perfect accord with the will of God. So many years ago, there was a Myanmar missionary here in Penang, and he was diagnosed with nose cancer. So one day, my mother, me and a few Christian friends, we went together to visit him. So my mother felt a strong urge to pray for a full healing for this missionary. And so we prayed for him, that he will have a complete healing. And lo and behold, 1 week later, we were told that he had been completely healed. So today, he is back in Myanmar serving the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we know that God is more than able to heal every sickness, but we do not know what His secret will is. So as a doctor, I always ask myself in the past, should I pray for healing? Yeah, I mean the patient is dying in front of me, but should I pray for healing? Or should I pray for peace, strength and comfort to endure the pain? So however, I just want to reassure everyone that we can pray with great faith for healing, knowing that our God is also full of compassion. Okay, we trust in God's sovereignty and wisdom as to when does the healing occur. As we pray sincerely, Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf to ensure that all our prayers are according to the will of God. And now, finally, we have come to one of the most well-known and quoted verses in the Bible. Romans 8:28 says that, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." I prefer the NIV version below because it emphasizes on the fact that it is God who works all things for our good. We know that suffering and sickness in and by themselves are not good, but our sovereign God is able to decree them for our good. You can also see that as Christians, God has called us for a purpose, and we love Him because He first loved us. So what is God's purpose for us when we say that we have been called according to His purpose? God's good and saving purpose for Christians can be broken down into 5 stages, beginning from God's mind to its consummation in the coming glory. The 5 stages are foreknow, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. So all these 5 terms here might sound a little foreign to you, but I will try my best to explain them in a simple manner. So foreknowledge here means that even before creation, God has chosen us to have a personal relationship with us. He has chosen to love us. We can basically say that foreknowledge is for love. Romans 8:29 says that for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So predestined here means that out of God's sovereign and gracious decision, he decided to save those he has chosen and loved beforehand. So God's intention to save those he has chosen then impels him to calling us. Calling comes through hearing the gospel message. And we become God's servant and worshippers when we respond to the gospel call. And this is why it is important for us to always share the gospel to others. All right, so far so good. God loves us first, and he chose to save us by giving us the gospel. When we believe in the gospel and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are being justified. We are justified because Christ's righteousness and not our own. So having justified us, God allows us to suffer, to sanctify us, and finally glorify with Christ. In glorification, believers attain a complete conformity to the image and likeness of the glorified Christ and are freed from both physical and spiritual defect when we receive the resurrected body. Glorification ensures that we'll never again experience bodily decay, death, or illness, and we'll never again struggle with sin. This is our final destiny in gospel life. And all of this, from the beginning to the end, is not due to our human works or merits, but purely due to God's favor and act, out of his mercy and grace. All right, so in summary, today's message tells us that we have suffering in life because of sin. However, we have hope in life because God has saved us. The purpose of suffering is to conform us into the image and likeness of Christ. We have hope today because the Spirit helps us in our present suffering and in our weakness. We have hope in the future because we will be glorified. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God is determined to bring all those who belong to him to glory. He has decided it, and we can depend on it. What stronger support for our confident hope could we ever find? And now, we'll invite Pastor to come forward to close in prayer. Thank you.
Thanks, Isaac. All right, now he paid back all the hours that have overshot, okay, so they can go home early. All right, how many of you are blessed, okay, by the word today? Yes, huh? You're going to hear more from Isaac, okay, in the days to come, all right, amen. I also asked him to take one of our Kensing slot. Would that be October, is it? October, huh? All right, now, as you hear the message this morning, I do not know any one of you are suffering. Normally, when people get married, we say they have different ring. Their wedding ring, then you have suffering, then you have enduring. Okay, what else? Okay, anyway, Isaac is going to get married. And yeah, he clap. Okay. So when he gave the last ration of the wedding, wow, I could picture all of us want to see who is the bride. Okay, now, anyway. So to all suffering, okay, take note that suffering is not something new. Okay, even Peter, okay, in the first Peter saying that if something that happened to you, don't feel that it's strange. Okay, in all those suffering as we hear today, all right, God has something good out of that. All right, and with that, he is molding us. Okay, he's molding us, okay, to be like him. You know, when I was in Manila for Every Nation Seminary, the 2 weeks intensive, okay, they invited the bishop, one of the bishop of the National Evangelical Organization. You know, whatever question you all posed to him, he has only one answer. That is God, okay, is molding us, okay, to be like him, okay, embracing his character. So friends, I want to encourage all of us, whatever we're going through, okay, God is molding, okay, each and every one of us. A good amen. Alright? Because he wants you to be a victor, not a victim. Not only a victor, okay, but you are a conqueror. Okay, not only a conqueror, but you are more than a conqueror. That will be next week's message. Okay, now anyway. All right, so let us pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Father, today I want to commit all of us into your hands. I thank you for what you are doing in our midst. Sometimes in those suffering that we go through, or each and every one of us, some of those suffering that we find hard even to explain it, how to share it. And sometimes those suffering is like you are suffering alone. But God is saying His word, all right? He sees through all that. And through all those suffering, He is with each and every one of us. The Bible talks about in Philippians 1:6, okay, that the good thing that He has begun, okay, in each and every one of us, and He will carry it to completion until, okay, the day of Jesus Christ. Father, today I'll commit all of us into your hands. If there's any one of you going through tough times, and all tough times now can come in different form, okay, it can be your work, it can be your finances, okay, it can be your relationship, and some of us will be illness, okay, of the family. It come in different form. But Father God, I want to commit all of us into your hands, knowing, oh God, Lord, that you have us in your mind. Just as the word as you have foreknew, you predestined, you justify us, you call us, and glorify, okay. So in all those suffering, Father, that is the hope. There's a hope that we're looking forward, although those suffering seems like no end, the hope that still seems like so far away, but that patience, that waiting is worth it all, okay, when it's compared to all those, okay, your glory, okay, of God is worth it all. Father, today I commit all of us into your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. At the same time, okay, for if you hear this message and those who are online as well, you have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of those suffering, you just couldn't understand, okay, why you are going through all those challenges. Let me tell you, when you have Christ in you, of all those, it's like nothing. Which I want to encourage you to come to the knowledge, okay, of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you do, okay, there's a simple prayer, okay, that is saying, God, I'm sorry. Okay, God, I'm sorry for the things that you have done. The second one is to thank you, okay, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Okay, third one is to say that, Lord, please come into my life. Okay, if you in this position and say, God, come help me, come. I want to know you more. Come, Lord. Okay, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer. Okay, shall you close your eye and those online as well? Say, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for the things that I've done, okay, against you and others. But today, I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, okay, for dying on the cross. Shed your blood. Forgive all my sin. You died, buried, and the third day, you rose again. Dear Jesus, please, I open my heart. Please come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, Amen.